Having mercy walked in.
Praise God. Can you do that? Do that second verse again. Just a little bit more of it.
Just worship the Lord tonight. Think about the night, the day, whenever it was, Jesus Christ came into your life. Mercy walked in.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be? That someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a difference it made when mercy walked in.
Amen. I just had that wonderful, marvelous flashback to when I knelt in the altar that night. Amen. And mercy walked in and Christ came into my life. I cannot tell you how gloriously excited that I was and how I felt so free and so clean. Amen. It was just an experience, amen, that I had longed for. And I'm so thankful that night, amen, that Jesus forgave me of my sins, amen, and came to live and to take up his abode in my life. Amen. Are you thankful for the Spirit of the Lord tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Are you thankful for his healing power?
Yes.
Are you thankful for his redeeming power? Are you just thankful tonight? Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Before I get into tonight's message, the last two, well, all the songs were just wonderful tonight. All is well. It makes me think of Sister Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
And that was her saying. That was her saying. It didn't matter what she was facing. All is well. It didn't matter if she couldn't hold her head up. All is well. And that was a saying of hers that you just knew that even before you asked Sister Coleman, that her response was going to be all is well. You know, by faith, she would make that statement. But knowing that some of the things that she endured, as well as so many of us, sometimes situations wasn't the very best in the world, but according to her, all is well. Sister Coleman got down very, very sick. She was a wonderful, wonderful saint of God, a soldier for God's army, and no telling how many people she led to the Lord. But one of the last times that I saw her alive, we went to visit them at their home, and she was already in the bed, bedridden, and her voice was completely gone. And our heart was saddened, naturally, and we went in to kind of lift her up and pray, and she lifted us up. Amen. She still, even on her dying bed, she lifted us up and went in and knelt down beside there and began to talk to her. And Sister Coleman, Brother Eddie, I just wanted to come and check on you and see how you're doing. She raised her hand up just like that. She couldn't say a word, but she mouthed, "All is well." Amen. Only a born-again experience with the Lord can give you that ability that when laying on your dying bed, you can still say that all is well. all is well because all was well in her soul. She knew where she was going to spend eternity. Amen. Is it well in your soul tonight? Can you affirmatively say that it is well? There is nothing between the Lord and my life right now. Amen. I am all ready to go and meet the Lord. If you can't say that tonight, you don't need to leave this place tonight. Amen. Until you make sure that all is well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go with us to the book of St. Luke in the 4th chapter. Good to see each and every one of you. Appreciate you coming out on a Sunday night. I know that they've been practicing the program tonight, but let's get our mind right on the Lord tonight. I feel like the Lord has something in store for us, not necessarily through me. I just feel like that the Lord wants to bless some folks tonight. Amen. How many would like to be blessed by the Lord tonight? Amen. If you would just lift your hand and say, Lord, I want a blessing. Lord, I'm expecting a blessing tonight. I guarantee you, we will not be disappointed if we expect something from the Lord. From the book of St. Luke, beginning in the 4th chapter, beginning with verse number 14, we find Jesus has just returned from the wilderness and after his baptism of John, and he had a wilderness experience, and the Spirit of the Lord led him there in the wilderness, but it didn't leave him. Amen. Sometimes the Lord will lead you in places, but he won't leave you. Amen. He'll be with you through those times. Amen. And then we find Jesus coming back, and we pick it up in verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power, everybody say, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, everybody say, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Say that with me tonight. To set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your Spirit, for your power, and for your Word. Thankful for those who have gathered here tonight. Father, and I pray, God, that you would just open up that window of heaven. God, pour out an anointing, pour out a blessing upon this congregation. Help us to be receptive, Lord, and submissive to your Spirit. God, help us, Lord, to be willing to hear your Word tonight. God, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this messenger. God, that you might speak to us that we need to hear, Lord, and that we'll be obedient to your Word. Father, I pray that if there's any needs under the sound of my voice tonight, God, we know that you're able to meet those needs. We know that you are the deliverer. We know, God, that you can touch those that are bruised. Lord, I pray tonight, God, for your delivering Word. Lord, we ask these blessings in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you love the Lord, give him another hand clap of praise. And you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Had a message title tonight, it would simply be the living Word. How many is thankful for the living Word? Amen. I want to flip over, if I can, into the book of John for just a moment. Go to the book of John with me, St. John chapter number 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Everybody say the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light,
that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. If you know who John was writing about, give the Lord praise tonight. Amen. Can you say Jesus tonight? Come on, say thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now we find Jesus coming to the Sabbath in the synagogue, as the Bible says, as his custom was. Amen. I like that word, as his custom was. I want it to be a custom, amen, together in the house of the Lord. Every opportunity that I get, I want to be able to meet in the presence of God, praying one for another and receiving from God. I remember many, many years ago, back in the little church, we affectionately called the little church, before this sanctuary was built. So it had to be pre-1976. Somebody say that's a long time ago. Yes, it is. Amen. I've been here a long time. Long time ago, the little church was there. We were having a revival meeting. Brother David Ingram out of Brother Eberhardt's church in Conyers was preaching. He was a mighty evangelist, a wonderful singer, just a great man of God, and really, really a fiery minister of the Lord. He was young. He was energetic, amen, and he was full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we were having a time. I remember one night he took off running out of the church, amen. About half the church went after him and tried to catch him, amen, but he couldn't catch him. He'd done circle the church a couple of times and back in. He was very, very energetic, amen. But anyway, he was preaching. I was working, amen, at that particular time. This is how long ago it was, before bread business. Brother Billy, it's before I got in the bread business. And I was working over at Big Star, and I was a stock clerk at night. I was stacking groceries on the shelf at night, and didn't have to go in until about 10 o'clock. So I asked Brother Ingram. I told him, I said, now, is it all right if I just wear my work clothes and come by church? Because I like to kind of make it a habit to go to church before I go to work. And I didn't know he was going to talk about that now, but he talking about making it a habit to go to church or making it a habit to serve the Lord. But I remember coming in and I'd sit back on the back bench, you know. But anyway, the message that I'm trying to get to you tonight, you know, you can find a place, you can find a time to serve God if you make it a custom, if you make it a habit, amen, if you put him first before each and everything. And here we find that Jesus goes back to Nazareth, a place where he had habitually gone into the synagogue, and evidently, according to the scriptures, he had stood and read before. But there was something different this time. Amen. How many knows there's something different? It's something to when you go to church, but it's something different when you get church in you. Amen. It's something to know the Lord, but it's something to different to know that the Lord is alive and well in you. Amen. How many knows that I got church even outside this building? How many knows what I'm talking about? I can have church in my automobile. I can have church when I'm down at the hunting land. I can have church in my living room at home. Because I have a relationship. Glory to God. How many knows what I'm talking about? Do you have a relationship? Not just an acquaintance, but a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you do, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. This time it was different. Jesus stood and he opened the book, and the book was delivered unto him. So it let me know that this probably was not the first time that Jesus had read. And later on, even the congregation that knew him even asked the question, is this Joseph's son? They knew the answer to that. But something had changed, amen, in the way that he presented the scripture. I believe with all of my heart that as Jesus began his ministry, as he began to enter into that destiny that God had placed upon his life, and he had sacrificed his life and he had dedicated his life to the service that God had called him to do, I believe there began to be a change in him. We know he was the Son of God, but I know that when he obeyed the Lord and was baptized of John and the river of Jordan, and he went out and the devil tried everything that he could to stop him. How many knows that when you make a stand for the Lord, when you step out on faith, the devil's going to come against you and try to do everything he can to stop you. And I just want to tell you, that is your assurance that you're on the right track. Amen. When the devil comes against you, you must be doing something right. Because if you wasn't, he wouldn't be bothering you. But he knows there's going to be something coming out of your ministry. He knows that there's going to be something coming out, amen, of the start that you've made for the Lord. And now that we find he comes into the church, amen. I like to identify with this, because I've said so many times, I was raised in church. My granddaddy was the pastor. We had a little meeting yesterday, the Amazing Grace, and we was talking a little bit about our history and all, and I had just recently pulled out an old photograph of my granddaddy when I was standing by his little rock. Oh, he was in his recliner. He was reading the newspaper, and I was standing there with my arm propped up, and I got to looking at the date on the photograph, and it was 1958. That means I was 6 years old, and I'm not ashamed of my age. If y'all can count and have math, you can figure out how old I am now. But anyway, there he was, and I just showed them the picture. I said, this is basically my history. This is what I've known for as little long as I could remember. My grandmother, bless her heart, you know, they love grandchildren. And she used to tell my mother, she said, I believe he's full of the Holy Ghost. That wasn't. I was just dancing to the music. But she said they'd try to hold me in my lap, probably about the size of Inslee there. And when the music would get to going, they'd get to worship and praise the Lord, she said, I'd just kind of jumping, you know. Hey, amen. But let me tell you something. You can have the Holy Ghost all around you and not in you. Come on. Come on. There's a difference when he gets in you. Come on. I tell your neighbor, there's a difference. Glory to God. How many knows? You're not the same person. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. You've been forgiven. You've been filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But I was raised in church. I knew what it was to hear the scripture read. I knew what it was for my granddaddy to stand in the pulpit and preach the message, amen, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you, I was not saved just because I sit in the church. I was thankful for my upbringing. I was thankful for my mom and dad. I told them that both grandparents on either side, my dad's mom and dad, my mother's mom and dad, were all Holy Ghost filled, wonderful saints of God. But that didn't save me. It had an impact on my life, but I needed to come to Jesus. Amen. It is an individual matter. How many knows? You just can't get there on your goodness. You got to be filled with the Spirit. You got to come and be born again. And in a difference, Jesus came here, and the word was given to him. And the Bible says, when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. I believe he already knew where it was written. He knew exactly where it was. Now, it wasn't the folding word as we know and can identify and we're used to now. It was a scroll. And he rolled the scroll out. And he began to read. And it moved the audience. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. If the word can't move you, I'll never be able to move you. Come on. The word should move you regardless of who stands in the pulpit and reads it. Amen. And especially if that person is filled with the Spirit of the Lord and then begins to come alive as the word is opened up into our ears and we hear it not only with our ears, but we hear it with our heart. And I believe that day as Jesus turned over and he began to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I believe that he was fulfilling Bible prophecy. I believe that he was talking exactly what Isaiah was talking about. And it came from the same source. Amen. How many know that the Word of God is true and it comes from the same source? Amen. Jesus began to read. Because He hath anointed me. Amen. We can't do anything without the anointing. But when the anointing comes down, amen, somebody's going to get touched. Somebody's going to be moved by the power and the Spirit of the Lord. I pray that every service that we enter into, I pray that the anointing power of God will come down and it'll minister and it'll touch and it'll deliver and it'll set the captive free, even open the blinded eyes. He said to the poor, to preach to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
There's something about the author. When something is read, there's something about the writer singing his own song. I know that great artists have sung songs, but there's something different when the originator or the writer of that song sings it. Maybe he can't sing it with as good a melody as some of the artists, but he wrote it. It came from his heart. And when he sings that song, there's a part of him or her, amen, that is divulged in that singing of that song to let them know that it is true, amen, and it comes from him. And I believe that day in that synagogue, that congregation heard something and felt something that they wasn't accustomed to. The word began to move them. The word began to identify with them. The word began to let them know we have a Redeemer. Can I tell you tonight? Can anybody agree with me? We have a Redeemer. We have a Deliverer. We have one who can and will set the captive free. Glory to God. He said the Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister. Sat down. But the Bible says the eyes of all them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Yes. Who is this? Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not that same little Jesus that we saw walking and playing around with the other children? Is it not the same Jesus who kind of excused himself from his parents and went back to the temple, began to have an adult conversation with the scribes and the lawyers and the doctors of that time and held his own? Because in fact he was that fulfilling of the Scripture. Amen. When he began to read, he was opening up his life. He meant the living Word. Thank God for the living Word. Let me tell you something about the living Word. It is never old-fashioned. It is never outdated. It is always timely. It'll always meet the need that it is intended to meet. Let me tell you, I don't believe we take full advantage of the written Word of God. I believe we need to write it on the tables of our heart, Brother Jim. I believe we need it as close as we possibly can, especially in the day and hour that we're living in. Because this Word, when it is read and opened up into our heart, amen, it is a living Word. It is not meant to read as a novel. It is not meant to be read, amen, as a reference book just alone. It's meant to help us through every problem. It's helped deliver us. It's the preaching to the poor. It's the healing of the brokenhearted. It's the deliverance to those that are captive. The recovering of sight to the blind. Setting at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised meaning downhearted, disappointed, hurt by situations in their life, hurt by remarks that may have been received, hurt by things that were done to them. Jesus said, I'm here to heal the bruise. Amen. To heal the bad situations. To deliver you. I know the Word is alive and well. I know that God has a purpose for the Word. I've told you time and time again how that many scriptures seemingly jump out at me when I'm reading them. And maybe I have read them before, but at that particular time, it was exactly what I needed to hear. But he's thankful for that. This morning, John 3:16, that was the very first scripture that I ever learned. But it was new and revealing and exciting this morning as I read it again. Because it is a living word. Amen. It's not something that just happened for one time. This is something that we can refer to time and time and time again. How many is thankful that you've got the Word of God? That you can lean on the Word of God? That you can open up the Word of God? That you can keep it in the portals of your heart? And refer to it, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men or of man, but in the power of God.
Amen.
Can't tell you how many times prior thou had probably read that or heard that read. But one night, on a Tuesday night, it meant so very much to me. Because little did I know that I was going to have to need that scripture the very next day on a Wednesday. At Eggleston Hospital, when I was talking to three doctors, three professional people, who was telling me that my son had at best only 50% chance of survival. Not of just healing, but of survival. Can I tell you, that word, oh, it began to be, amen, first and foremost in my spirit. Even as they were sharing with me, I could see that word, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Can I tell you, He's an on-time God. Can I tell you, His word, amen, is what we can bank on. His word is what we can lean on. His word is something we can always trust. When you can't find any help elsewhere, go to the Word. When you need help, go to the Word. When you need deliverance, go to the Word. When you need, amen, redemption in your life, find the Word. Hallelujah. It's a living Word. It's a living Word. They fastened their eyes on Him. Glory to God. Because they never heard it read like that. Amen. What is it? There's a biography, and then there's an autobiography.
Yes, come on now.
Hello?
That's right.
The biography is when you write something about my life.
Come on now, come on.
The autobiography is when I write something about my life.
Amen.
Come on. They used to have a saying, can't nobody tell it like you can. Don't nobody know what Jesus done for you like you did. Can't nobody tell it no better. Glory to God. I've been able to witness and tell testimonies of some of my family members, but let me tell you, nobody can tell it like they can. Nobody can tell it like you can. Nobody can tell it the night that Jesus Christ came into your life. Amen. Because you are that person that it happened to. It is living within you. And we need that word living and vibrant and working in our life. Amen. Especially in the day and hour that we're living in. Refer to it. Get with your children. I remember, thank God that Sister Karen, when she was really, really small, we had her in a Christian school, and part of their curriculum was to recite different scriptures in the Bible. And she would come home just a little bitty tot, and as she would begin to recite these scriptures, you know, not just a verse or two at a time, but I'm talking about 10, 12 scriptures and just hit it off just like that, you know. And that's wonderful. And I was thinking as Trey he loves to read. Now he reads everything he can get a hold of and he remembers things so well. I don't remember things so well anymore. If you haven't got there, that's all right. You will. Amen. You'll get there. But I don't remember things as good as I once did. But there's things in the scripture that I hope and pray that I never, ever forget.
Amen.
Glory to God. My grandmother, bless her heart, Sister Ida Bailey. In fact, she's the one that the Ida Bell Circle is named after, in case y'all did just a little bit of history. But Sister Ida Bailey was a precious saint of God, and she began to have dementia and senility and began to, to lose so much of her ability to remember. And she would be talking about anything in the world. And if anybody ever mentioned anything about the Bible, she'd start quoting it. Never miss a word. That's not circumstance. That's not hypothetical situation. That's not luck. It was in her heart. Can I tell you, even sometimes in our frailty, if it leaves our mind, it's in our hearts.
Come on, brother.
Come on, folks. We need that word in our hearts.
Amen.
Amen. We need, as was said, write it on the tables of our heart. We need that living word. No wonder they were moved. No wonder they could not take their eyes off of Christ, because he read it with such authority. He read it, amen, as though he was fulfilling his life right before them. In fact, he even said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the one that Isaiah prophesied about. I am the one that they talked about would be wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting. I am that fulfilled in your very ears." No wonder it made such an impact. Folks, and I ask you this. When you take the Word of God and you begin to read it, does it impact your life like that? Does it stir your heart? Do you read it as an obligation? Do you read it as a duty? Do you read it just because you said that I've fulfilled my time of reading? Or do you read it with a searching, longing heart? God, give me that I need. Speak to me. Let me hear from you, Lord. Let me hear that word. Many, many times I've read the Bible. I've been reading it for 30 minutes or more, and all of a sudden I'm realizing I'm not retaining. I'm not reading in the right frame of mind. I'm not reading it in the right spirit. Brother Jim, when I do that, I'm not saying you have to do that, but for me, I have to refocus. I have to close my Bible. I have to get on my knees and I begin to pray, "Lord, help me to focus on your word. God, I don't want to just read it, amen, just for quantity of time. I want to read it for quality of time. God, I want to receive it, and I don't want to retain it in my heart. Give me that word. Open it up. I know it was written by men and it was moved on by the Holy Spirit. And I want to read it, amen, as the Holy Spirit moves on me, because I want to get something out of the Word every time that I open the Word. Every time somebody stands in the pulpit and brings the Word, when they say, "Open your Bible," I consider it a privilege. I consider it an honor to open up the Word of God and read what God has in store for us. Amen. They could not look away. They fastened their eyes on him. They were amazed at the authority that Jesus read these scriptures. And then they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They couldn't understand how the son of a carpenter had the power and authority that he did. But it all was possible because verse 14 said, "Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Hallelujah. How many knows there's power in the Spirit? Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Power. Amen. Holy Ghost power. Redeeming power. Power to break chains. Power to deliver. Power to break those things that have us bound. Take advantage of God's holy and precious word. And when you speak that word with authority. When you say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," you speak it in authority.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to plead with him. You can speak it in authority because of the word. Not because of you, but because of the word that is within you. That word gives you strength. That word gives you power. That word gives you confidence, amen, to battle those things that come against us. Love it. Keep it near. Keep it in your heart. Refer to it often.
Yes.
Amen, because it is a living word. It is alive and well today. Amen. Never gets old. It never gets old. I've heard so many people say, "You know what, I've heard that scripture all my life, but when I read it, it just had a brand new meaning to me." Because it's living. It's that living word. Amen. Aren't you glad that our Savior is still alive and well? Glory to God. I worship a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. If you know who I'm talking about, give the Lord praise tonight. Can you love Him? Can you love Him? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand? Praise God. There is a song that's been on my heart and on my mind. I don't even know if it's in the hymnal. But I think that... There it is right there.
Bless God. That's right. Amen.
I didn't even have it turned out. There it is. I surrender all. I surrender all. Church, as your pastor, I want to ask you, have you surrendered it all to Jesus? Amen. Can we maybe play that? And all I know is I surrender. I surrender all. It is page 354. Now, if your hymnal automatically opens up to it too, I'll know that's the Spirit of the Lord moving. That's amazing, but that's exactly what it opened up to. I surrender all. And as we sing this, if there's something in your spirit, in your life, something that impedes your ability to really feel the power, the delivering power of the Lord, I ask you to come down and surrender it. You know, when you surrender it, you give it up. You don't take it back with you. Brother Jim, you leave it here. You surrender it all. Can y'all... Page 354. We'll start with the chorus. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. If you can sing it, please do. I'm not doing too good at it. Surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Can we do the first verse? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Everybody, I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Verse number 5. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of the salvation. Glory, glory to His name. Everybody sing.
I surrender all. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
The chorus, one more time.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee.
God bless you. I love you from the depths of my heart. You're so precious. so very much appreciated. Sister Penny and myself count you as family, and we just love and appreciate you. God bless you. There's no one to have a need tonight. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. Have a wonderful evening and a great week.